Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 241, recorded on February 6th, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as always, is the one who's pressing us for time, Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
Yeah, sorry, I got to do it quick today.
Yeah, we didn't
have...
But
that's good. That just means we'll be fast. There's not much to talk about anyway.
There is not much to talk about. That's absolutely true. Yeah, I think it'll work out. Jeff Gamet's also here from the Mac Observer. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm good. Adam wants a quickie on a Friday afternoon. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's have a quickie.
We can do that. We can do that for Adam. And speaking of quickies, this show is sponsored by Lynda at lynda.com/TIOSS. That's LYNDA.com. And they're awesome. And we'll talk more about them later.
And they do have awesome short little tutorials. They have these cool 10-minute things.
They do. You can learn
quickies.
Check out. Yep.
You can learn so much, probably so much more than you could going to like community college. And probably faster and more cheaply too. So we'll talk about them later on in the show. So the first thing we have to talk about, what is this? The iPad. Oh, okay. So iPad momentum is flat along with the tablet market, which is declining.
Yeah.
So I guess that's good. Being flat in a situation where everyone else is going down, that's good.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So other tablets are declining and Apple is remaining flat in terms of sales.
In terms of growth, yeah.
Growth. Yeah, well, you know, it's tablets are replacements for PCs for a lot of people, which means they're going to be on a PC buying cycle.
Yeah.
It's not like an iPhone where people are picking new phones up every 6 months, year and a half, you know.
That's true.
Well, honestly, I think that the iPhone buying cycle that we've been seeing since the iPhone came out is going to slow if it hasn't already. I would imagine that it's already slowed. And you know, when I went from my iPhone 5 to the 6, I honestly can't see that much of a difference because it's a phone. I'm not doing a lot of heavy lifting on that thing.
Yeah, I think phones are going to continue to be one of those things that, because you have, it's sheer numbers, right? There's a lot more phone users than tablet users than even probably PC users. Like, everybody has a phone. And when you get that, you know, most people are probably on a two-year cycle. When their contract comes up and they can renew their device, they renew their device. So there's just a natural upgrade cycle to phones. And, you know, if you got 50% of the people every other year, then you're still selling a lot of phones, whereas like tablets and things like that, I don't need a new tablet. I didn't upgrade this latest round, and I'm like the person who would upgrade earlier than anybody else. So
yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
My mom has an iPad. I fully expect she'll have it for 3 years and maybe longer.
Yeah, well, you know? I held on to my original iPad, and the iPad 2 is pretty good for me for quite some time. And the only thing that I miss on the current, I have an iPad Air. I really wish I had Touch ID. That's the only thing. And
yeah,
I think I can get myself beyond that for a while.
Detractors want to point at the iPad numbers, which have been declining in terms of sales numbers. If you look at the last quarterly result for the quarterly result calls for the past couple times, they have been going down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just meaning that Apple has saturated the market in terms of everybody who wants an iPad pretty much has gotten an iPad. And yes, they're getting new customers and losing some, but that's where that stasis comes from. But as far as like, hey, new model comes out, you're not going to get a bunch of people rushing to necessarily upgrade who already have devices. You're maybe selling new devices to new people coming in, and that you know, those are your sales numbers, but you know, there's not a lot of compelling reason to go get a new iPad. So it's not indicative of, like, people like to point to it and say, oh, iPads are failing.
You know, no, that's it's just
iPads are not failing.
Exactly.
It's just a market saturation.
Yeah. And a buying cycle, which is why Tim Cook isn't worried about it at all.
Right.
He did pull out his favorite usage stat too to kind of combat that.
And what was that?
Oh, that, you know, we saw that, you know, over the holiday buying season, 80% of e-commerce transactions on tablets were from iPads.
Yeah.
You know, that those sorts of numbers. So it's like, well, people who have tablets are using iPads more than any other tablets.
Which reminds me, I need to buy something else on Amazon. I was looking
at... Which is a valid point.
Yeah.
You know, so, how many people are still using iPads? Because those are the people, when that upgrade cycle comes around, guess what they're buying? They're buying another iPad.
Yeah, it seems that way. And funny thing is, when you go to Amazon.com, the first ad in their little, promoted thing is the Fire HD 6. It limited time offer down from $99 to $84.
Huh, how about that?
Yeah, I don't see any sales on iPads. What's the deal there? I want a sale on an iPad.
Well, I think there's a reason why Amazon never tells us how many Kindle, Fire, whatever things they're making, they actually sell.
Ah, okay.
But they do kind of telegraph that when they take a $100 product and knock it down to $84.
Yeah, geez Louise. Well, they still have the Fire TVs still at $100. Have either of you tried that?
No, but I know a lot of people who really like those. I think they're selling pretty well on the Fire TV front.
Yeah. Well, you do get the Amazon video experience right there in the device, which you don't actually get with an Apple TV.
But guess what? It works fine with AirPlay.
Right. Exactly. And honestly, I have Netflix and I have Amazon Video Prime. And I can't remember the last time I used that.
It's hard to find anything really decent on Video Prime. And it's hard enough on Netflix sometimes. But I mean,
right.
Prime pretty much has everything that... Netflix pretty much has almost everything that Prime has, and Prime has very few things that aren't on Netflix.
Doesn't Prime have some HBO stuff, though?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's old HBO stuff. They don't have any of the new stuff. It's not like what you get on Go or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no Game of Thrones.
Do you get Silicon
Amazon.
Valley? I don't think
I don't
you
know.
Do. Have
Probably
you seen
not.
That? Have you seen that show?
I've heard good things, though. I'd love to see it. But.
I think I'm late to the game on that, but I just recently watched the entire series. It's only, I think, 6 or 7 episodes. It's really good.
Is that on Amazon?
No, it's, I don't know. It might be on Amazon Prime Video. I don't think it is, but it's on HBO Go.
Oh, well, yeah.
Just
I
got
to get someone to hook me up with
and
their
it's
HBO
what? Silicon
Go
Valley
login.
Is what it's called, right?
Silicon Valley. Yeah, it's not on instant streaming. But you can buy the episodes. They're really funny. I like it. It's Mike Judge.
Can I just go online and like, don't people just publicly post their HBO Go logins at this point? There's probably a site.
There probably is. like an exchange where, like, in exchange for my HBO Go subscription, there's, you know, offer
buy
me something.
Buy me something off my Amazon wish list.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd do that.
Oh, I'm sure there are listeners out there who can hook you up with something.
I just assumed I had to send photographs in exchange for the login.
Yeah, photographs of, like, cute kittens?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Back on track, Apple Watch stuff. MacRumors is sharing some screenshots and a video of Todoist for the Apple Watch. And it's not necessarily the most impressive thing, but when I went to look at it, so of course, Todoist is a productivity app, one that I haven't actually looked at, but it gave me a new perspective on what sort of things would be useful on an Apple Watch. And of course, I'm an OmniFocus user. Uh-huh. And after looking at this and realizing how much stuff I have in OmniFocus that I don't end up doing and I end up spending a lot of time wasting time instead. If I had a thing on my wrist that was like really there and easily bugging me to do the things that I need to do, I like that.
That would be awesome.
It sounds
Michael,
pretty awesome.
Are you aware that OmniGroup has said they will have apps ready to go for launch day?
Yeah.
For the watch?
For the watch.
Boom.
Ken Case tweeted, I think 2 days ago, For those who are wondering, yes, we will be on Apple's newest platform on day one, as we were on OS X and iPhone and iPad.
Nice. Leave it to Ken to always just make it happen.
So, as if there was any any possibility that I wouldn't be getting an Apple Watch right away, Ken Case just totally solidified my purchase.
He just sold two Apple Watches.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Something to help maybe push our ADD a little bit further and then like take it back a little bit. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited for that. And another reason to get an Apple Watch. So Beats. Apple, of course, has Beats, as we've talked about many times. And according to 9to5 Mac, Apple is currently working on a, I guess what amounts to be a collaboration between the current Beats app and I would imagine integration with the actual music app in your iOS devices and iTunes and all of that. And according to them, this is a quote from them, based heavily upon cloud streaming, Apple's new service is centered around the user's music library. A new search feature will be able to locate any song in the iTunes/Beats catalog, and users will be able to stream music from the catalog, as well as add songs to their personal libraries. Users will be able to select specific tracks to store on their iOS devices and or computers, or keep all songs solely in the cloud. Apple will also deeply integrate Beats music playlists, activities, mixes, etc. into the new service, letting users access a vast array of pre-made human curated playlists to fit various activities. And that last part right there is what got me excited about this, because we've all been speculating, okay, they're going to either integrate certain details of the service into iTunes or remake the entire Beats app into something that looks a little bit more Apple-y. But I think, as we've discussed before, the curated playlists, that stuff, I think, is more useful or at least more exciting, because, you know, we've had this Genius feature, which is a giant bucket of uselessness for me. And I think a lot of other people, because it offers great promise. You know, hey, let's listen to some classic rock, and you press the button, or Britpop or whatever. You know, these are the things that I'm seeing in my Genius mixes, and you're looking for something that sounds, you know, good. But you're, as these other services like Songza and Beats have made clear, I think what people are really looking for is mood music, right? A playlist that goes well with a certain activity or mood, rather than just saying, I want to listen to a specific genre. And Beats, of course, offers that. And I think that Apple will probably redo, maybe dump entirely the Genius mixes, or at least add that in as a really compelling feature into the iTunes, what that, iTunes can do.
That would be nice. A Genius mix has me absolutely baffled, which tells me I must not be a genius, because I don't get it.
Yeah, it's for geniuses.
I'll be listening to classic rock, as an example, and then I start getting Broadway show tunes mixed in with it. And while I appreciate, you know, Into the Woods, Andy, Get Your Gun, whatever, as much as the next guy, it just doesn't seem to fit well between The Who and Pink Floyd.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally know what you mean. It just, even if the first couple songs in a Genius mix seem to work with what you're going for, it somehow goes astray.
Boy, howdy.
So I'm looking forward to some of that sweet, sweet Beats curation, because they do have some good stuff. I like that. What else here? Ah, new beta. So iOS 8.2 beta number 5, I believe. Yeah, beta number 5. And really nothing new to report there, other than it seems to have fixed a bug that prevented Facebook from working properly, which some people care about, I'm sure. And some early reports have suggested that it fixes the GMT bug, which I'm not entirely familiar with. It's one of those things that's been talked about a lot. So maybe, Jeff, you want to explain what the GMT bug is?
I don't think I'm understanding it correctly.
But okay.
So the way I'm getting it is that GMT time is wrong for some people.
And it doesn't apply to their lives in a daily fashion.
Right. And so then the events that are in other time zones are screwed up. Hmm. And I may be completely misunderstanding it, but that's what I thought.
Okay. I put you on the spot with that.
No, that's all right. It's one of those weird things where it's like, no, wait, what exactly is this problem?
Okay. Adam, do you know what it is?
No.
Oh,
no,
boy.
No, because okay. I haven't really been hit by it. But, I mean, I think Jeff's synopsis of it was pretty accurate from my understanding. There's some sort of bug with GMT. And I thought I had read somewhere that it maybe only affected Google, like Gmail stuff.
I think that it's more, it's occurring more frequently with people who use Google Calendars, I believe.
Yeah, Google Calendar or something like that. And so there's like a disconnect.
That would explain why I'm at a loss on that one. I don't use Google Calendars.
Yeah, me neither. So it hasn't really impacted me.
I think it's one of those things where you can have, so I'm in Pacific time, but if I want to enter something in as Central time, like if I'm going to something in Chicago, and I know that it's occurring at a certain time Central time wise, I would put it in, you know, 3 o'clock Central time, and it would show up as 1 o'clock my time until I actually travel there, and then it'll show up in the correct time. I mean, for what it's worth, it would be the correct time no matter what. It would just be entered in that way. And I think that it's related to that ability in Calendar to allow you to enter things in different time zones. And I think it's some kind of mix up between either entering things in GMT time and it showing as your current time, and then edits get weird. Are you going to explain
it right there? Because here is straightforward. I just Googled it. So cool. The GMT bug in iOS 8 that was fixed caused some users to have duplicate appointments added to their calendars, but with a different time, with different times due to a syncing server, server syncing issue, basically. Uh-huh.
Okay, cool.
So it sounds like if you put one in at a time zone and synced up to your Google Calendar, you could end up with duplicate. I would assume one at the one time and a second one at the corrected time.
Okay, cool. So if you were sitting there composing an email to us to tell us how wrong we were, you can delete that draft and move on.
We just saved you the time. You're welcome.
Welcome. Which, again, is why I never looked into this, because I never had anybody mention to me that they were being impacted by it, because there were so many factors that needed to go into play, right? You had to be doing a Google Calendar sync thing. You had to be, putting in with the time zone stuff, which I do all the time. I will put appointments in. If I know somebody's in another time zone, I'll enter it in their time zone and then set it, that.
I do the same thing.
But then I guess if I were to sync that with someone who was on Google Calendar, then it could get jacked up and they could end up with a duplicate. But it's been fixed anyway, so we spent way too much time on this.
Yeah. Well, it's been fixed in the beta, and I'm sure that means it will be fixed for consumers. And according to Boy Genius reports, that would be possibly in March when everybody gets iOS 8.2. So it's been speculated that because iOS 8.2 is heavy on Apple Watch editions, that we would probably just see it about the same time we get the Apple Watch, maybe in the same week or so. As I think we usually get updates maybe a couple days before the device comes out. But it looks like we'll possibly be seeing it in March, and it's been corroborated by 9to5 Mac as well. And of course, the Apple Watch is coming out in April, so it could be a couple weeks or an entire month before that. Are there any improvements that we're looking forward to? I'm guessing that the biggest improvements for users who aren't getting the Apple Watch would be bug fixes and performance improvements, right?
That would make sense.
Yeah.
I've had very few issues, I think, with iOS 8 in general. since the last couple updates.
Yeah, lately it's been okay. I guess I haven't noticed any more Wi-Fi weirdness with my phone. Actually, no, I take that back. Wi-Fi's been okay, but I've been noticing an issue with GPS especially. It's been driving me absolutely bonkers. And if anybody has also experienced this, please let me know, because I'm ready to take my phone to the Apple store. I guess that wouldn't take that much time, but then I'd have to fight with them and convince them that it actually happens, because it's not something you can easily test. But what usually goes on is I hop in the car and I need to go somewhere and I say, hey, take me to this address or what have you. And my phone cannot work out where it is GPS wise. It has a giant range, you know, just that general cell tower based acquisition, possibly the Wi-Fi a little bit narrower, but it never locks onto a GPS satellite. And if it does, it doesn't actually.
I think something's wrong with your phone.
Yeah. And it takes a while. It either, I'll have to wait just driving down the road in the general direction that I hope I need to be going, for several minutes. It sometimes will pick up. There have been times where it doesn't pick up and I've had to do a full restart of my phone, and then it doesn't pick up right away at that point either. It actually, you have to wait maybe a minute or so. And I've gone through an entire restore at this point. I brought my settings back over because I'm not insane. But yeah, I'm still getting that issue. So if anybody is seeing this issue, if it's like some kind of software issue, let me know. But otherwise, I think I'm going to be needing a new phone, which is kind of unfortunate, because that means I won't be able to jailbreak unless I do it like soon. Because I think the signing window is still open on 8.1.2, for what it's worth.
Yeah, but that's closing very soon.
Is it still open? Yeah, it looks like it might be.
Yeah, I think you only have a few days left.
Yeah, I should probably get that done today. Yeah, there is a, let me see here. Oh, geez. Oh, this is just a picture. That's why it's driving me nuts. I'm trying to click, on a picture here on one of these websites. So it's ipsw.me. It's a really handy website you can go to and check the signing windows. So if you want to downgrade. 8.1.2 and 8.1.3 are still currently being signed for the iPhone 6. So ipsw.me is a neat website for checking that out for those of you who jailbreak. What else do we have here? Oh, we need to talk about what they're doing with the GT Advanced plant. But before we get to that, we're gonna talk about our wonderful sponsor, which is Lynda at lynda.com/TIOSS. It's already February, so what are you waiting for? Invest in yourself this year and start learning something new at lynda.com with a free 10-day trial. Lynda.com is used by millions of people around the world and has over 3,000 courses on topics like web development, photography, visual design, which is very cool. So it's not just like, here's how to use Photoshop. It's like, here's how to use it like a pro and know what you're doing with color and type and stuff. So that's awesome. You can also learn business as well as software training like Excel, WordPress, Photoshop. All of their courses are taught by experts and new courses are added to the site every week. So whether you want to set new financial goals, find a work-life balance, invest in a new hobby, ask your boss for a raise, find a new job, or improve upon your current job skills in 2015, lynda.com has something new for everyone. So if you sign up for your free 10-day trial, that's lynda.com/TIOSS for the iOS show, you'll get unlimited access to everything on lynda.com, which is like the coolest ever. So if you go in there and you're thinking, okay, I want to learn how to do WordPress, and then you start watching these WordPress tutorials and you're like, wait a minute, I don't understand PHP. I want to get into PHP and learn how to make WordPress templates and figure that out. So you can just jump right over and start learning PHP. Maybe you need to dabble in a little bit of the advanced CSS, jump over to that and figure that out. And there, I mean, all this stuff is chapterized, it's broken down. So if there are specific things that you want to find, it's very easy to do that. It's not just one giant chunk of a, you know, 80 hour training video or anything like that. Of course, you can access all the videos on your iPhone, your iPad, Android devices, in addition to your computer. You can access all of the new courses that are added. They have them every week. Some of the courses that they have, which are pretty cool, are Swift Essential Training, iOS 8, iPhone and iPad Essential Training, Setting Up Your Mobile Office to Work from Anywhere. That sounds really cool. I need to check that out. Speeding Up and Maintaining Your Mac, always important. I'm sure there are tons of really great tips in there that don't involve, what's that terrible adware? The robot, you know what I'm talking about? That keeps showing up.
The adware robot.
I don't know. People know what I'm talking about.
About the zero bit stuff.
Yeah, that guy. You don't need that guy to clean up your Mac. And in fact, that's probably a bad idea. Just look at what Linda is telling you in these training videos. They'll help you out, and you'll actually learn something, and you'll be able to do it on your own, and you know, be better off for it. Code Clinic, an innovative series where each month, lynda.com issues a code challenge and authors share their solutions using a variety of different programming languages. That sounds really cool, especially for people who are looking to get into coding, like students. Like I said before, lynda.com is super affordable. So it's much cheaper than going to the community college and trying to learn this stuff on your own. It's $25 per month after the trial. Or $250 per year. It'll save you $50 if you pay for a year up front. And it's totally worth it. Like I said before, I learned pretty much all of the skills over the years to build Appler from Lynda. So they've got HTML essential training, JavaScript essential training with jQuery and JavaScript and Ajax, all that awesome stuff. Like I said before, PHP, MySQL, Objective-C, iOS SDK. Just do it. They're awesome. I'm so glad they're supporting us. It's just one of the best sponsors to have. So check them out if you haven't already. lynda.com/TIOSS for your 10-day free trial. Check it out. We thank them so much for their support of the iOS show. So GT Advanced, they're gone. But that giant building they have in Mesa, Arizona is still there, right? So it's being reported. I think it was from, let's see here. Who said that? I can't remember. Oh, GigaOm. They called it a command center. I don't know why they're calling it a command center. I don't know where that verbiage came from. But basically, Apple has decided to put a giant data center in that building. So
isn't nearly as exciting as command center.
Right.
I was picturing the bridge of the Enterprise, and in the command seat, there's Tim Cook, you know, leaning forward pensively. Raise shields.
Who's at the battle
bridge?
Add
more data.
Where's the battle bridge?
The battle bridge is down the hall, second door on the right.
Okay, cool. So if they have to separate the saucer section, that's where you got to go.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that are they saying it's going to be their... Okay, so it's going to be one of their largest investments they've ever made. Add over 600 engineering and construction jobs, 100% renewable energy. I'm not sure if it's going to be their biggest data center. Have they said anything about the extent to which it's going to compare to the other centers they have?
Not that I've heard. Okay. Well, the information that came out didn't actually come from Apple. It came from
the mayor, right?
Yeah, from the mayor. Yeah, or the mayor's office.
Right.
So while they were able to make the announcement, I don't think they're in a position where they can definitively talk about just how big the data center is going to be in comparison to what Apple has already done.
And to correct myself, it's the governor of Arizona, so you can stop writing your emails.
Mayor, governor,
same
it's
thing.
All the same.
Local government, nobody cares. But yeah, that's good. They're, they obviously do a lot of stuff with data, and more data centers is better.
Yep, there you go.
So, too bad. You know, I was kind of hoping they were going to do something neat with Sapphire Glass at that plant, continue doing that. Obviously, they sold off all the equipment already, but it would have been neat if they continued pursuing that, because that seemed like a great idea. I guess they just won't be continuing that research there.
Yeah, my guess is that Apple's done with the idea of Sapphire for the surface of the iPhone.
Yeah, at least for the time being, until they fix some of the bigger flaws with it.
Yeah, maybe. Or they're just going to go with Sapphire for the way they've been using it already on Touch ID and on the camera lenses, and then now on Apple Watch, and just leave it at that.
Yeah, because Gorilla Glass is clearly working out quite well.
True, and not as brittle.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. U.S. iPhone sales. So the iPhone has overtaken Android sales this last quarter, Q4 2014, by 0.1%. Which is pretty neat. I mean, it's not much, but it's something. So Apple with the iPhone took a 47.7% sales share, while Android accounted for 47.6%, which is actually quite impressive because we're comparing one company with an entire slew of other companies when we talk about Android.
That's a good point.
I mean, aside from that, I guess it just shows that it's not a sinking ship. You can put it that way.
Well, the idea that the iPhone is a sinking ship is pretty stupid.
Well, yeah, and, you know, TMO runs the, Apple death call?
The death knell,
yes. The death knell, yeah. You're probably in, like, the 200s now, I'm sure.
I can't remember how many we have. It's a lot, but not nearly as many over the past year as we used to write.
Yeah, well, I mean, Apple stock is doing well.
How is it that Apple, as the company that last quarter reported more profit than any company ever, is still being looked at as a doomed corporation?
People are idiots.
People are insane.
I guess. I mean, you don't see talk like this about General Electric or Exxon or Walmart.
Because, Jeff, if you want something bad enough, you can make it happen.
Right? All you have to do is believe and clap and Tinkerbell will live.
Yeah.
And Apple will die.
Yeah. Yeah. Still, lame.
Lame indeed. Yeah, so I think that's all we have to talk about there. Verizon has decided to drop data plan prices by $10, nearly across the board. So from 1 gigabyte all the way up to 8 gigabytes, they've dropped the data prices by $10 each. And even the 20 gigabyte data plan that they have has also been dropped down by $10, which is nice. And it's seems to be a continuation of what T-Mobile has been doing for us, right? Making it more, giving more competition to the marketplace. And I mean, it's kind of crazy if you think about it, how much T-Mobile has upset the cellular industry in the last couple of years. I mean, if it wasn't for them, I'd probably be paying, you know, I'd be on contract with AT&T with my iPhone 6 probably. And I'd be, you know, probably paying less, to be honest, per month, because I'm paying for my phone every month. But AT&T and Verizon probably wouldn't be offering those sorts of plans and having more competitive data options and that sort of thing. So it's pretty impressive.
I'm all up for the competition. And I'm glad that T-Mobile has been shaking up the market, because in the end, that puts pressure on Verizon and Sprint and AT&T, which means that even though they aren't giving us the best possible deals, they're slowly coming around and improving what they're offering us.
Yeah, thank goodness. Who was T-Mobile going to merge with a couple of years ago? Was it AT&T that it was discussed?
Yes.
Man, I'm glad that didn't happen.
There's a lot of people that are glad that didn't happen.
I think the industry would have been radically different, or at least not as radically different as it is now. And that wouldn't be,
that's a better way to say it. It wouldn't be as different now.
Yes. And that's a very good thing. And it seems like they're going to continue pressing. So I'm happy about that. Do you guys want to talk about this mysterious Apple car that's been spotted in the Bay Area? Did you see this story?
Yeah.
Yes.
This thing with, it looks like a giant quadcopter on the top of it. It looks like it's about to take off. But it's a camera. It's a black, it looks more like an SUV, but I guess it's a black Dodge van. And it has a something like 12 camera rig on top of it that's just driving around. They said in Concord, California.
So this sounds a lot like what Google has done, what Microsoft has done with their Bing Street View thing. Yeah, it sounds a lot to me like someone's collecting data for a potential
Street View?
Street View sort of project.
I would love that, but you know, Rob Enderle says, no way, it's self-driving cars.
Oh, Rob Enderle.
He says, too many cameras. Even actually, though
we are so close to jumping over into needing an explicit tag for today's show.
It has less cameras than
in the Google Street View.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Google Street View has 15 and this has 12. And I think it makes a heck of a lot more sense. Wow, okay, first of all, why the hell would Apple be working on self-driving cars? Why is that more plausible than them integrating some kind of like Street View?
Because Rob Enderle said.
Yeah.
You know, Apple already has their own mapping project that they've been working on. We see the fruits of their labor right now every time we tap the Maps app.
Yeah.
Why would they not look at expanding the functionality they can offer with that by building up their own Street View project as well?
Yeah,
it kind of makes sense.
Makes total sense. I'm currently looking at a 3D flyover of Bakersfield, California, because they added that recently, and it's oh so riveting.
So that's kind of cool. We can now fly around California.
Yeah.
From our desks.
Bakersfield is, not to offend anybody from Bakersfield, but it's not nearly as exciting as like Paris. But it's cool that they're adding it. And it's clear that they're working on more and more features for maps. And they need it dearly. They definitely need, I think, even more than the flyover thing. I think they need Street View, because that is just so useful when it's available. It's one of the few features that I like more about Google Maps than I do Apple Maps. Obviously, Apple Maps doesn't have it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I hope that's what they're doing. I'm looking forward to it. If they add that in there, that'll be great. And maybe we'll see it in 8.3. Who knows? Maybe that's one of the secret features that we're going to get in 8.3.
That would be fun.
Yeah. And I just wanted to touch briefly on macOS 10.10.3, because that was released to developers yesterday. I haven't gotten a chance to install it. I have it downloaded and ready to rock and roll. But the biggest feature is that they've finally allowed developers to look at the new Photos app. And that's the one that would integrate with iOS via iCloud. So you get all of your photos in the cloud. Of course, you have to pay for it. It's not like the iCloud, Photos? What the heck is that thing called? PhotoStream?
Yep.
Sure, PhotoStream.
So the PhotoStream is 100 photos.
PhotoStream is 1,000 photos, but yeah.
Oh, 1,000. Thank you. That's a lot of photos, actually. That's a good amount. I thought it was 100 at first.
Nope.
Okay. So yeah, if you do the iCloud photo library, which is still in beta, and you probably shouldn't turn it on because it goofs with things. I was actually, I noticed on Twitter last week that our buddy Adam Lissagor was trying to delete photos from his phone, and he couldn't figure out how to do it because, as it turns out, he had photo library turned on, and it doesn't let you delete photos from your phone.
No.
Which is kind of crazy.
Kind of confusing.
Yeah. But I digress. So the new Photos app is supposed to take over from iPhoto and Aperture. and work well with the iCloud Photo Library, which is one of the complaints that people have been having that are currently using the iCloud Photo Library, that you just can't access your photos in iPhoto. So this will let you do that. It's a
The thought that anybody can have a realistic iCloud photo library is just baffling to me, because everybody I know, like my photo library, which isn't huge, I just looked, is, and granted, this is the whole thing with thumbnails and everything, but you know, it's 80 gigabytes.
Yeah.
So maybe 40 gigabytes would get uploaded, which is far beyond the 5 that Apple gives me. So,
well, you'd have to pay. I think in the end, unless you don't have any photos really at all, you're going to end up paying for some.
Or you're just going to be like me and not turn it on because you don't care that much.
Exactly. How did you figure out?
I think there will be a lot of people not turning it on.
How did you figure out how many gigs? Did you just click in the Finder?
Yeah, I just get info on the library file.
Yeah, that was probably, would have been an easier way to do it for me. Hang on, let me see what I'm at. 68 gigs. Well, I trimmed it down quite a bit, but I used to have like 90 gigs. But yeah. There's no way I want all this crap.
The problem is you and I understand this. The thing is I'm worried about the folks that just day one, hey, do you want to turn on iCloud Photo Library? You can have access to all your photos from wherever you are. Oh, yeah, that sounds awesome. Please do that for me. And then they're like, I don't have any iCloud storage. Ah.
And then you just stop backing up.
Yeah, and then they don't have backups. And then, like, I don't think Apple's thinking this thing through.
Hmm. Yeah.
Unless you're going to get a giant ad that says, oh, you've just run out of storage. Would you like to buy more?
No, it does say that. It does do that. And then you are going to say no, and you're just not going to get backups, which is, and the reason I say this is because that's exactly what my girlfriend went through.
Oh, really? That's what happens right now?
She didn't turn on iCloud Photo Library, but she, I think she was, well, maybe it was that. I don't know. I have to look. I think it might have been her. It might have been related to her photos.
Because iOS 8 teases you, you know, when you install it.
Right.
It's like, do you want to enable iCloud Photo Library? Sure.
I think I disabled it for her, but I don't know. I think it was something like that. But in the end, she was out of space, and it kept saying, "Hey, you can buy more storage space. All you have to do is click this button." And she just kept saying, "No, no, no," and ended up with no backups. So.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I think they're really going to mess up this user experience. You know. What I'd really like to see is a way to better control iCloud Photo Library, to say, okay, I just need these albums in the photo library, not my whole freaking collection.
Yeah.
And that is smart. Why don't they do that?
And most of the photos, you know what they should really do is work on what Google added into, I think it was Picasa, which is some kind of engine to identify what photos are crap and what photos aren't. There really needs to be some kind of automated,
Apple-y
way to identify all of your stupid photos that you shouldn't have anymore.
Yeah. Well, and then also, if Apple was just going to be awesome and make this an awesome feature and make, you know, let their users know that they really love them, unlimited storage.
There you go. Yeah, they're building that giant thing in Mesa.
Other companies have done it. I mean.
Right. Well, and even look at what Microsoft is doing with their Office 365 subscriptions. What is it, like
terabytes.
A terabyte?
10.
Yeah, crazy.
That's a buttload of space.
At this point, that might as well be considered unlimited storage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it would really hurt them all that much, and they would have a lot of fans, and it totally avoids this problem. Everybody would say, yeah, I'll put my photo library up in the cloud. That's awesome. Love it. But they don't. I don't know why.
What? Yeah, why is Apple so stingy with storage?
Well, they've lowered the prices, but...
Yeah, but still, compared to to everyone else, they're priced too high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all we have to talk about. Send to our picks so we can get Adam out the door. So,
yes, sir.
I'll let Adam go first.
All right. I'm going to go with Instructables. You guys know the website Instructables?
Vaguely.
I love this site. So it's basically a site anybody can go on, and you can give instructions for doing just about anything that you want. I tend to spend most of my time in the like technology, Arduino, Raspberry Pi kind of area. But, I mean, you want to know how to make anything, you can pretty much find it on Instructables. They have a cool, like, living section, so you can look at, like, furniture. So if you need a new coffee table, why not look into maybe building one?
Cool.
Or, like, games, even food. So if you're looking for recipes and things like that, people post all kinds of recipes on there. And they have a really nice app for iOS that you can download for free.
Oh, cool.
And you can get instructions to build all kinds of stuff. So it's a total maker kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you're into making stuff. And like I'm browsing through here. Like here's how to make, what's that? The boiling cooker that everybody's into? Sous vide?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
here's how to make. Something like that.
Yeah.
I can't
ceviche. Ceviche. Ooh, I like that stuff. Yeah, but yeah, sous vide. I think SOUS-VIDE. Here's how to make your own sous vide cooker. You know, why spend thousands of dollars on a commercial one? You can make one yourself.
I found,
if you're into that kind of stuff.
I just searched and I found a how to convert a MacBook Pro into an iMac. This is
awesome.
Pretty funny. It That's looks cool. A lot cooler from the front than it does from the back. Because
so put it against
they very
the
often they very often do.
Yeah, it's very they basically do. Just beheaded a an older non-unibody MacBook Pro and then like slapped it onto the back of a cinema display.
Yep.
I mean, it works.
Like IKEA hacks in here for furniture. So, you know, take your IKEA furniture and make it something more.
I bet they have something for standing desks.
Oh, yeah. And they also have DIY treadmill desks. You'll find all kinds of stuff on that. Here's one I thought of, Jeff, a Doctor Who time crack in the wall, in the universe wall light.
Oh, that's awesome.
See?
That's totally awesome.
Here, so, no, I found
you got to kind of be, you know, the type of person that has tools and things. I'm slowly building
you gotta have tools.
My repertoire. But I mean, some of the stuff's really simple. Some of it's more complex. I mean, there's like every level in here. So it's just fun to browse through. And
check this out. It's instructables.com/ID/iLamp. I sent a link to this in the chat. You basically take a bunch of old iMac G4s and you take the snowball dome and you can make some sweet lamps out of them.
Yeah. So it's all kinds of stuff like that.
That looks awesome.
Yeah.
So
cool.
It's just
I
fun
like
to
it.
Browse through, fun to find stuff. Whether I very rarely build anything out of it. Like I said, I will do little Arduino projects and stuff out of there because I'm sometimes, you know, wanting to just play with the Arduino. They have Lego instructions. There's a whole Lego section.
I was just looking that up.
Yeah. So it's a very robust and great site, and it gives you all the steps usually. Some are, you know, because they're written by anybody can post pretty much. You know, they'll get voted on. You can check the reviews and things like that. Some are better than others, but still kind of neat. And they have a great app. So
neat.
That's really cool.
All right. Jeff, what is your pick?
I have a website also. And this website is called justwatch.com. And it's something that I had heard about a while ago and completely forgotten about until Kelly Gaumont mentioned it this afternoon to me. And I was like, oh my God, totally forgot. Awesome site. So the deal is you go to justwatch.com and they tell you where all the movies that are available somewhere can be seen. So you can figure out if there's a service that's offering it as a free view or what it's going to cost at all the different places. So, you know, like if you want to see Guardians of the Galaxy, you just search for that and it'll tell you all the different services it's available on and what it costs to watch it at each one of those.
So cool. So this is like, can I stream it, but better?
Yes. It's like, can I stream it? And they're getting ready to add television shows into the service.
Oh, so it's just movies right now.
Just movies right now. But TV shows coming soon.
I like the UI. It's really clean and nice.
It is. Yeah. I think it's really nice. And free to use.
Awesome. Yeah, just what? Do they have an app?
Ooh, I don't know. I've never actually checked.
I bet they do. Hang on, let me. Did you turn off the search on Appler yet, Adam?
No.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we're debugging something. No, it's not on there.
Yeah, we're working on something. It seems to be okay the last couple of days, so okay, we may have nipped it in the bud.
Cool. Yeah, it doesn't have an app, but you just justwatch.com, which is free. It's free to use the internet if you already have a subscription to the internet.
Score.
Yeah. So
I'm going to have to drop off, guys.
Okay, wait. You have to hear what my app is, though. You ready?
Okay.
That's my that's my pick.
Why did you make Adam stay for that?
It's the ham horn. And right. It also does this. Okay, Adam, you can leave.
With that, I'm hanging up.
Okay, bye, Adam.
Bye.
Yeah, so my pick this week is they call it the ham horn. I just got it because sometimes I just need the rap air horn in my life. Jeff, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, and I'm so glad that there's an app for everything so that that you can have this.
Well, don't forget, Jeff, there was an app, and I believe still is, an app called Poop the World, which allowed you to, it was a social network where people could come together around their phones and their toilets and share what sort of poops they're making. So honestly, ham horn doesn't seem like that bad of a thing.
In comparison, no, it does not.
No. So now that we have a little bit of context, I didn't mean to do that. I just kind of touched it, but it does that when you touch it.
The jokes practically write themselves.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's free. It's called Ham Horn. It comes with the rap air horn, which of course is what everybody wants. It also has a lady saying ham, which is fun. There's, ooh, Jeff, you'll like this.
That has a very marathon sound to it. It
has the Wilhelm scream.
Uh-huh.
So you get that. And then Uncle Nick, I don't know what this is. Okay, so there's that. But also you can make your own recording and tap a button and have it play back. So it's free and it's fun. So if that's the kind of thing you're into, you're welcome. Everybody else, I'm sorry.
That's so sweet.
So with that, you can find our iPhone picks and show notes at theiosshow.com. You can review the show in iTunes, tell a friend. We always appreciate that. And feedback is feedback@theiosshow.com. That's how you can email us. Advertising, of course, is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Our sponsor is Linda at lynda.com/TIOSS. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and TMO Daily Observations podcast is where you can find him every weekday, right?
Every weekday.
Awesome.
Yep. Yep.
Talking about all the stuff that's on your mind, right? As you're writing articles, basically.
Yep. Pretty much. The people I write with, they say things that interest me and I'm like, oh, you're on my show today.
Yeah.
So really, so when people are on the show, they typically have about 5, maybe 10 minutes warning.
Cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, so check that out. Adam Christensen is at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, and at Mattcast on Twitter. Thanks to Adam for being here, and he's gone now, so that's cool. At Michael Johnston on Twitter is where you can find me on Twitter. And, of course, I'm on Appler, GETAPPLR.com/Michael. And Jeff is on there and Adam's on there. And we're talking about apps there when we talk about apps. So with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. Internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck. Yuck. No.